What a journey it's been to look at the life of one of God's servants, Moses, from his birth to his calling to the deliverance of God's people from bondage. The scriptures have given us a glimpse of an incredible man. What an incredible man. That incredible man serves an incredible God. His faith in the word of God was amazing. There were situations and opportunities that he had that he couldn't just look back at a previous leader and wonder, well, how do you confront Pharaoh? How do you institute the Passover? How do you lead the people across the Red Sea? How do you lead 2.5 million people on a desert expedition? He simply had to trust God every inch of the way as he walked by faith. And as such, he built a lasting legacy of a servant who was faithful to the God he served. His life speaks, and it speaks even now to each and every one of us. The record of how Moses walked with God inspires me, I have to tell you that. It inspires me, and it calls me to be a man of the word, courageously living for the glory of God, trusting his word. That's what it does for me. I hope his life does something like that for you. Well, God didn't forget Moses and what he did in serving him, and the same is true of us. We read in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, the hall of fame, if you would, of God's people, where the Spirit of God notes individuals who walked by faith and left a legacy that glorified God, inspired others to do the same. Moses is included in it. Now, lest we forget, God is keeping records of our service to him. I love what Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, and having ministered and still ministering to the saints." God keeps track. He knows. He knows how we serve. He knows what we're investing in. You know, an individual may have nothing of this world's goods, but can be rich in heaven. God rewards those who walk by faith and seek to please him. It will pay off. I want to tell you, it will pay off in the long run. You may not see much of it here. Maybe you'll see a bit of it here. But we're looking to the reward. There are four takeaways from his life that I want to mention to you today. I want to note these. And the first is real basic, how he lived. How he lived. He lived by faith. That's how he lived. We read that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, 11:1. Conviction of things not seen, for by it men of old gained approval. The last part of verse 6, it says that, "For he that is without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Seek there, in the last part of verse 6, has the idea to seek diligently and earnestly after God. That's what it means. Moses lived that kind of life. He walked by faith, trusting in God. He leaned on God. And what's interesting is his parents had a part of that. If you look at verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born," there's a lot in that statement. Moses' parents lived by faith also. They were trusting in God. And by faith, their influence in his life was felt and cannot be overstated. They knew and trusted the Lord. His birth was directly influenced by their faith in God. It was a life and death situation, if you remember, not only for Moses, but for his parents. The king's edict was kill the males, throw them in the Nile. They rejected that. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. They lived by faith. So they trusted God, they walked by faith, and that bled into Moses' life. He stood before Pharaoh and demanded that Pharaoh grant the people of God freedom. And he did this time and time again. And I have to tell you that God supernaturally protected him. Pharaoh could have ordered him killed at any moment. God supernaturally was over all of it. Chuck Swindoll, in his book on Moses, he writes an incredible book on his life. But at this juncture in his life, as he's looking back on Moses and his faith, this is what he said, and I love it. We live by faith, or we do not live at all. Either we venture or we vegetate. We risk or we rust. Moses lived by faith. He trusted God. And, you know, we're called to live by faith. That's our call as well. The Apostle Paul said, we walk by faith, not by sight. We trust. We believe. We lean into the Lord. Take his word as truth. It's a decision we make. So it's a decision Moses made. It's key. That's how he lived. He lived by faith. And that life he lived by faith built a lasting legacy to the glory of God that's a positive influence on others. Secondly, as we look at verses 24 to 27, I want you to know that, notice something as well, what he chose. He chose ill treatment. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. At age 40, Moses was at a crossroads. He had a choice to make, and that choice was either to be all in to the Egyptian culture and the privileges that were at his fingertips, or to join his people, the people of God, the Hebrews, and come alongside them. If Moses chose the Egyptian culture, he would have every pleasure any man could ever have wanted. Wine, women, power, prestige, and the best the world had to offer. That was his. He'd been adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was, I believe, next in line to be Pharaoh. And it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him. I mean, who would reject that, right? He had a choice to make. That was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him. But he did something different. He chose the ill treatment that was before him. And I want to remind you guys that those Hebrews were ill-treated as slaves. This went on for some 400 years. And that's what he chose. We read of this ill-treatment in Stephen's summary in Acts 7. Great summary of the life of Moses there, a bit of it anyway. It was he who took shrewd advantage, speaking of Pharaoh, of our race and mistreated our fathers so that they would expose their infants and they would not survive. That's what was going on. We don't know the number of those infants that were killed and discarded in the Nile as mere alligator bait. We don't know. But Moses' parents said, no, we're going to risk our lives for this. Remember, they were not afraid of the king's edict. They said, we're going to trust God. We're going to walk by faith. By the time Moses was nearing the age of 40, he had this decision. It was a decision that would shape his life, faith, his trust, his belief, his reliance upon God is what mattered, and that's what mattered most. That's what fed into his choices that he was making. He chose the group that was in bondage. That's what he chose. He chose to serve God and not himself. And Moses was something in that Egyptian culture. Acts 7:22 says Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. He set that all aside. He set that all aside. Warren Wiersbe says this about faith. True faith causes a believer to hold the right values and make the right decisions, and Moses did that. We have similar choices today, you and I. How many dream of winning the lottery and become famous? And what if our aim, though, was instead of being famous in the eyes of those around us or having riches that are unending, what if our aim was to be known in heaven and not so much on earth? How about being someone the devil takes notice of because of how God's using them to impact others for Christ? How about that kind of fame? How about living for something that spans time and eternity? How about living right now in such a way as to please God and impact others? Those are choices that we make. How about standing firm in this society that's desperate for someone who knows Christ to stand firm? You might say this, well, you know what? I can never be Moses. And you'd be right. And he can never be you. God raised up Moses for a specific time, a specific task, with a specific generation. I believe God has done the same for you and I. I believe that with all my heart. You know, God made Moses uniquely Moses, and he made you uniquely you. You're right here, right now. There's a community that needs to see you walking by faith. And to every family here, you are in a tremendous battle. I have to tell you, I'm absolutely amazed at where our society has gone in the last few years. I think, well, I've seen it all, and then I realize I haven't. We are a society that's the creation is making the rules and putting before us what we need instead of the Creator who speaks in His Word the truth, and we're struggling to make our way straight there. The families, marriages, children, a tremendous battle that we're in. The devil wants your marriage. He wants your family. He wants your testimony. He wants to discourage you and cast you aside. He wants to call you over to something that is pleasurable. And then when you fall for it, he says, you got to be kidding me. How could you ever be used of God? Our culture is putting its hand out ready to consume any and everyone. And I want to say to you folks, stand firm on His Word. Walk by faith. It will pay in the long run. And I believe it pays a lot right now. Choose Him. Choose Him. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Moses chose ill treatment. Why? Because he trusted God. He had a relationship with God. Notice as well what he considered, the reproach of Christ's greater riches. Look at verse 26. Verse 25, he chose to endure ill treatment. By the way, being a Christian is call up. God doesn't call you to nothing. He doesn't save you and say, you know, hey, just kind of walk as you want to walk. No, it's a high calling. And it's a privilege to be called up to the life of Christ, to live in a society as He would have us to live. Moses, he set aside, he chose ill treatment. That's what he chose. And then he considered something. Verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. We are so short-sighted, brother, sister. Now, we live on this earth, but we need to be living for the glory of God, thinking about our true citizenship, that one day I'm going to step into heaven. Hallelujah. And I'm going to see Jesus, and I sure hope that I've given it my all here. That's the heartset we should have, the mindset we should have. That's where our heart should be. So considered here, when he considered it, it has the ideas that Moses made an evaluation of what was before him. He thought it through. And true wealth is not measured by what a man possesses. Moses invested his life in that which held eternal value, serving God. He believed that real wealth wasn't in what he could get or what he could hang on to or what Egypt could give him, but rather in who he could serve. In Christ, greater riches. Greater riches. You know, the treasures of Egypt, they're all gone now. They're all gone now. Moses invested in that which was eternal. He will never lose that. Chuck Swindoll said this, he willingly traded the earthly monuments and acclaim, the perks, the power, and the pleasure for a reward in an invisible realm. He cashed it all in, every shekel of it, for a relationship with the living God. It was the best trade anyone could have made. What he lost, he couldn't have kept anyway, and what he gained, he could never lose. Oh, that's so well said. So well said. You know, money isn't the problem, it's the love of it. And God has granted many believers with tremendous wealth. But if that's you, make sure you introduce yourself to me after the service. But if that's you, just kidding. If that's you, 1 Timothy 6, 17, 19 has something to say. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share, storing up for themselves a treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what of that which is life indeed. There's instruction for those that have that. And by the way, as Americans, we're pretty doggone rich. We have a lot. We have a lot. We need to be investing toward that which is eternal. And what did the Lord of glory, our Lord Jesus Christ, say about this? Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. Store it up there. That's what Moses did. He made an evaluation. He looked at life. He looked at the privileges he had, what he could possess with his own hands, and what he could invest in for eternity. He said this, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God's people. I'm going to invest in that which is eternal. And I want to finish with the legacy that he left. And I really want to challenge you guys thinking toward what you're going to one day leave behind and how living today is going to impact that day. But the legacy he left. Verse 6, Hebrews 11:6, the first part of that verse, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Moses left a legacy of walking by faith, trusting in the word of God. And I want to tell you, that was honoring to God. It pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible. You can't. You can't please God without faith. We're trusting in his word. Promises are there before us. We speak of heaven. We've never seen it. I speak of Jesus. I've never seen him. But I see him in the word. I believe, I trust. That's what Moses did. And our walk needs to be one of believing in and trusting in what he has laid before us. This empowered Moses to overcome his fears and to be courageous. I don't have to, well, I'll remind you. Moses didn't believe he had the right words to serve God, that he would be accepted by others in his service of God. He had, remember all those reasons. Finally, you know, God meets all those reasons, and Moses kind of then gets on the, and jumps on the wagon and says, let's go. God's not looking for perfect people, praise the Lord. He's looking for people, men and women of faith, who'll trust him. He walked by faith. He walked by faith. He lived for the reward. He believed that his God rewarded those who sought and pursued him. That's what Moses believed. And he did it with grace and humility, amazing humility. He thought about what lies ahead and lived for that moment. Again, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the last, I'm a verse ahead. But that was Moses. He walked by faith and he trusted the Lord. We need to do the same. He became a selfless servant. And that's what I want to give you here. Numbers 12:7, not so with my servant Moses. He's faithful in all his household. He was just selfless, faithful man. I'm amazed really by that. He served the Lord by serving people. The situation he found himself in, I have to tell you, I don't think many would have signed up for that, knowing if you knew how you would be treated by that congregation of murmurers and those who who would complain and rebel and falsely accuse you of wanting to kill them, that would get old. Moses did. You know where we find him most of the times? There was it was some lessons back. We saw that he got a bit carried away. His anger got him to a place he shouldn't have been. But for the most part, when Moses came up against those people, he was on his face before God praying, interceding for them. What a selfless servant. And I have to tell you, when I see those kind of people, they call me up. They call me to a greater walk. They call me to a greater trust in the Lord, and their lives speak to me. This church body runs on those kind of people. But he was a selfless servant. Again and again, we see him on his face, praying, interceding with God on behalf of those rebellious, cantankerous individuals. So the legacy he left, he walked by faith, he became a selfless servant, he lived for the reward, he believed that God does reward those who seek him, and he pursued that. I think I got, Hebrews 11, 6b, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Again, you know, we live life here and now. We like to, you do something, you're rewarded for it. We can see that. You can see you're making some progress. You know, as you share Christ with others, as you live the Christian life, I think almost a great deal of it, we do not see how God is using that to impact others. And brothers and sisters, I just want to call you to be steadfast here. Keep living for Christ. Keep standing firm. Keep walking by faith. Keep walking as you should with the Lord, keeping short accounts of sin, making sure you're right with others and with the Lord. He lived for the reward. He lived for the reward. And I think the question is for you and I, what are we living for? That's what he did. Lastly, I want to say he was a man of humility. He was a man of humility. He humbled himself to God first and foremost. By the way, that's not an easy task, right? It's not normal. It's not normal at all. But God can help with that. And as we look to him and humble ourselves, as we begin to understand all he's done for us, I think as we get near him, we can walk in humility. Those are just some things to note with the legacy that he left. A man of faith, a selfless servant, looking for the reward. But mostly, I think you bring it all in with this man of humility. We are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's what the scripture says. And I think that may be all for all of us our biggest struggle. You know, I know what I know, and I know how to do it better than others, and all those things, but humility. So I want to bring this all together for you and kind of really, I hope, drive this home for you and really challenge your heart here. Let me ask you this. Could you strive to meet God's approval? Could you strive to meet God's approval? I think you could. You could. Could you grow into a selfless servant? Again, I believe the answer is absolutely yes, you could. Could you live for the reward instead of the here and now? Others have. You could. Could you be a person of genuine humility? I think so. I do. Now, I've given you some scriptures from this 11th chapter. It's full of those who walk by faith. And you kind of get to the end of that, and I think the right question is to ask is, okay, so what? Well, look at chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You turn there, I've got it on the slide as well. Therefore, there's a connector. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, so the witness is there. They have demonstrated that we can live our life in this way. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. That's the sin of unbelief, I believe. That's what it is. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You guys, you may not realize this, but you are in a marathon. Every one of you in Christ is running a race. And you do that with endurance because it is a marathon. But you run. You've got a race to run. And here's what you're looking for, Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. As you run, you look to him. When you're mistreated, you look to him. When you feel like giving up, you look to him. When you've had a horrible day, you look to him. When others have disappointed you, you look to him. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. That's how we run. Now, I want to give you a truth to live by. This is about a legacy, okay? This is about when you breathe your last, what are you going to leave behind? Faith in God and his word will leave a legacy that glorifies God and encourages others. That's what it will do. Faith in God and his word will leave a legacy that glorifies God and encourages others, you could say, in the same way. Every time I see a believer like that, it encourages me. It speaks to me. You need to be that one speaking to others. How many of you have you seen that movie that recently came out, The Jesus Revolution? How many of you have seen that? Okay, your pastor's going to highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. And let me tell you why. It's a story of God moving back in the 60s in a desperate situation, a generation that had lost its way, who needed Christ. They were a mess. And we saw what happened there. And let me tell you why that speaks to me, because I see this generation, our nation now, in the same place, if not further down the road. And I believe today that God can still save people and move among his people and churches to bring glory to himself. I believe that. But in that movie is a man named Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie. And I've known him, this man, for quite a while. But you may know that he is being used amazingly by God in this day. He's a pastor. He's also a tremendous speaker and evangelist. But Greg Laurie never knew his biological father. He couldn't say, well, I'm like Moses, where mom and dad, people of faith, and I don't know how far Moses' parents could look back, but Greg Laurie didn't have that. He, to this day, does not know his biological father. Now, he grew up with his mother and a stepfather, and as he tells the story, his mother was on drugs, alcohol, men in and out of that place all the time. That's how he grew up. And he came to faith in Christ. But the cross changed his life. And someone had to say, and I believe Greg Laurie said, you know what, it stops here. I'm going to trust Christ as Savior. I'm going to walk with God, and I'm going to trust that he'll build something that will last, and he is. And if you're from that kind of a background, you might say, well, you know, here I am, first generation, or I've just come to faith in Christ, and there's nothing back there. What about you? What about us starting right here, right now? It could. And you could build something. You might say, well, you know, you don't understand, Pastor. I've kind of made a mess of my life. Well, you know, Moses, it was really the last one-third of his life where he really began to make an impact for God. It was that last one-third. For some, it might be the last quarter of their life. For others, the last couple of years. I've seen this the last couple of weeks. I've seen that. Where an individual comes to faith in Christ and impresses and impacts their family with their faith, walking by faith with Christ. My grandparents, that's where I take it back to. My grandparents came to faith in Christ. My parents, I got to grow up in a godly family. None of it was perfect. But someone said, you know what? I'm going to do a calculation here. Serving the Lord is worth it. And I'm looking to the reward. And we are going to do something about this as a family. We're going to make the right choices here and now. It has to start with someone. And it has to start sometime. What about now? Why not now? Why not today, right here, right now? If not, when? When? And I would say to you, if God is pressing you to step up in your walk with Christ, maybe shed some of this stuff that's you've been hanging on to, that today might be the day. And if he's pressing you with that, move forward. And I want to tell you why. Because I have seen individuals. I witnessed with a man that worked with me for years. And he would tell me this. I'd share Christ with him. One of these days, I'll come to Christ. He put it off and put it off and drew further and further from the Lord. He's not saved today. But as a believer, if you put it off, you know, if the Spirit of God's speaking to you right here, right now, this is the day. This is the moment. This is the time. Don't put it off. What's at stake? Well, there's a family at stake. There's others that know you. That's at stake. If you're a father with children or grandchildren or mother with children, it impacts. It's time. So if you would consider that today being the day, I believe that by God's grace, you can begin to build a legacy of faith that will outlast you. I have that with my grandparents. I'll have that one day. With my parents. What about you? What about today? Is this the day? It is. Let's get to where we need to be with the Lord and leave a legacy that glorifies God and encourages others. It's doable by the grace of God. If you'll humble yourself, it's doable. It's doable by the grace of God. If you're honest with where you're at with him, it's doable. Let's pray. Loving Father, you've given us one life here on earth, one life to live. We've looked at a man who you empowered to live in an amazing way, and you used to bring about the deliverance of your people. Father, we don't have that opportunity, but we certainly have an opportunity. There are people we influence. There are people at work, at school, people in our family, friends, that we can make an impact in their lives. Father, only you know the hearts of your people today. Maybe there's some here that have been hanging on to something as a believer and will not humble themselves to either forgive or to let go or to trust or to believe that you would love to empower them to a greater degree to make a difference. I pray they would believe that and move toward you. Father, if there's someone here today that have yet to place their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, this would be the day. Help them to understand they're a sinner. They have nothing to offer to you, and their sin separates you. If it's not dealt with, they will spend eternity apart from you in a place called hell. Father, I pray you'd bring them to faith in Jesus, who loved them and gave himself up for them, who you sent as an expression of your love. I pray they'll come to faith in him. Father, bless your people. Use them for your glory. I pray we'd humble ourselves to that. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.